What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Tomorrow, live in Cape May, New Jersey. That's right. We'll be there live, and I would love for you to join us. 3 to 7 p.m., you can come for all the show, part of the show, however long you want to be there. We'd love to have you, all right? So join us for that, please. It's going to be a blast in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, all right? Brooke Sigmund's going to be here this hour from Fox News. She's broken a lot of stuff on the Russia Gate, and I shouldn't say Russia Gate because I don't want to compare it to Watergate, the Russia hoax. There's been nothing like this in our lifetime. Nothing in our lifetime even comes close to what these people did and what they tried to do to President Trump. Nothing. But we'll talk to her about this, and a little bit later, we're going to talk to our buddy George Bacchetto, about the Frank Rizzo statue. As the war on woke is now in a detente. Look, woke is never going to be over. You realize that, right? I've made this comparison. It is the villain in the horror movie that never dies. It's Michael Myers. Not the funny one, the Halloween guy. It's Freddy. It's Jason Voorhees. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy, Leatherface. It's woke will be back. It's just right now dead for the moment. But these things never die. These things go in cycles. You know what I mean? They go in cycles. And if you think that woke is dead in terms of it being dead, it's not dead. It's dead like Ghostface was dead at the end of Scream. Not dead. There's going to be a Scream 2 and then a Scream 52. Woke will be back. It's just on hiatus. The good news, though, is that when they did this poll recently, they found that like only 12% of people were offended by the Sydney Sweeney ad. I doubt it's even that high. But the problem is not that it's going to be a majority of people. It never will be. Let me tell you what the problem is and why woke will be back, why Ghostface will be back. It's that at some point, the corporations that are all taking a gigantic sigh of relief right now, that are all turning around and saying, phew, we don't have to worry about this anymore. We can put, you know, hot chicks in jeans up again. And, you know, we can make jokes and we could put out politically incorrect movies and all, and we would have to worry about these things. We'd kill our DEI programs and all these things. And they didn't want to do a lot of these things in the first place, but they felt like they had to because of the mob, the social media mob, and the pressure. And now we've shined a light on it like a mouse in a corner, and we've realized, hey, it's not that big. It's just a little tiny mouse. Just the reflection, the shadow was really big. But at some point, that's going to go back to that, where angry woke mobs, and I'm using air quotes here, mobs, will intimidate corporations, and the corporations will start bending the knee again, thinking they have to. And there will be people in those corporations who right now aren't saying anything because the people that believe that their job in the corporation is to make money have the voice and the power. But at some point, the annoying people that are the woke ones who are still there, I mean, they still work there, they're going to start speaking up again. And as the tide starts to turn, they will start to win out on things. You don't doubt me on this. To say woke is dead is like saying that they won't ever make another Halloween movie. Like, they're making another Halloween movie. It may not be with Jamie Lee Curtis. It may be with somebody else. I don't know. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis seems like she'll never die. I mean, she Freakier Friday. She was great. But how do we get to the woke of 2020? We got there. George Floyd's death resulted in this wave of wokeness and a sea of parades and marches and walks that defied the very COVID orders. And the very governors who had the orders against people gathering in public were marching with the people, Tom Wolf in PA, and His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable in New Jersey was like, oh, 400 years of white oppression. Who am I to say stay home? It's that kind of stuff. And, you know, right now I'm watching Gavin Newsom. They're showing him on Fox News as he's trying to claim that the 2026 midterms are rigged. And he's playing the game, but... if there's a Democrat president, God forbid, 2028, that person will run as kind of a centrist. But 2029, 2030, they'll govern like a I guarantee it, because the Democrat base is not going anywhere anytime soon. And what will happen is that the corporations will completely revert back to thinking they have to make the party happy, and they'll start doing, and then the White House will start pressuring the companies again with all their, don't forget, you had the Democrat administration, Barack Obama's administration, pressuring a lot of these companies. We want to know your woke score. What's your social justice score? Your corporate responsibility score? And they came up with all these different formulas to see how the company was behaving in terms of their hiring and their commitment to the environment and their commitment to this and that. And they had all their nonsense that they put on these companies. And then they started threatening them and using you want to talk about federal intimidation? It's not when the federal government has the DEA and the FBI partner up with local law enforcement to go after criminals. It's not that. No, they do that all the time. That's called the Joint Task Force. No, it's when you have the federal government intimidating private companies into yielding into their hiring practices and their donations, their carbon footprint, and all the other woke social justice nonsense that these companies were doing. And it becomes a reflection of that, obviously. Oh, so right now, woke is on hiatus. It's just waiting to come back, waiting for the right opportunity to come back. But for the moment, it's refreshing, and everybody's taking a wonderful deep breath as we're all able to enjoy our life again and enjoy making jokes and laughing at politically incorrect movies and we're watching now as the left is pushing the needle. We're watching shows like South Park push the needle, making fun of President Trump and Kristi Noem and these other groups. I'm okay with it. I have no problem with it. Go for it. Do your thing. Not a problem with me. But at some point, people will start having a problem with something because it's the inevitable thing. And we have a social media platform that enables people to start whining, and then they think that their voices are representative of a platform. Right now, we're all making fun of those voices, and corporate America doesn't feel like they have to bend the knee to them. That'll change. We'll go back to that. You'll see. You'll see. I hate to say it. I just know how these things work. I know how these things go, and I know how life is, and I know that the culture shifts constantly. A big part of the reason is because people, it's human nature for a lot of people to want to fit in, and so they start to think, well, if I fit in, I'll fit in if I adapt this point of view. That's why at one point you saw Ukraine flags on people's houses. It's like, well, it feels good to do this. Remember the Seinfeld with the yellow ribbon? Why aren't you wearing the yellow ribbon? Remember that? And mocking the whole thing of you got to wear the yellow ribbon for the AIDS, for AIDS. It's that mindset, that mentality of, well, I gotta fit in. And when you can break the narrative of that, and then people feel safe to be able to speak out on things, you find out, wow, oh my God, you mean you all think that boys playing in women's sports is insane? Wow. But the government, if the Democrats get control again, will use its law enforcement prerogative to intimidate people into silence and complicity. because that's what they do. It's what they did with moms at school board meetings. But at some point along the way, we covered up Columbus in a box. We moved the Frank Rizzo statue in the name of social justice. I don't really understand that whole thing. We did these things. We took down statues. We renamed things. We didn't touch Woodrow Wilson, though. We did not go after Woodrow Wilson. That guy was safe. We didn't go after Mr. Internment Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was fine. No Democrats were harmed in the social justice warrior remaking of America. No Democrats were harmed, unless they were Confederates. But otherwise, they were fine. So like the guy who put Japanese Americans in internment camps and German Americans and Italian Americans, citizens, of course, and their kids with no due process, that he was fine, FDR. He's still their god, but because they don't believe in God, as they believe in like, and Woodrow Wilson, racist, sexist, resegregated the military, anti-Semite, that he was fine too. There's still a rest stop named after him. You know, this worst human being ever. Kerry gave me a dartboard of him. We throw darts at his face, but it's hanging up in my basement now. But I'm just saying that no Democrats were harmed in the remaking of America in the wake of social justice, but the ramifications of that, you know, now that we're like, okay, good, that's over for now. Well, now we got to figure out what do we do with the Frank Rizzo statue. And there's a group that is dealing with that. And the city of Philadelphia has to pay them $80,000 to make repairs to that statue because they won in a court case. And we'll talk about that as the show goes on. But just to show you that the Democrats are once again on the wrong side of this crime issue. Here's Joe Biden, 1992. Amazing how different he sounded in 1992 than 2022. Right? I mean, just absolutely amazing how different he sounded. Like Donald Trump in 1992 doesn't sound that different from Donald Trump in 2025. His voice is a little different, a little bit. Because, I mean, your voice, your vocal cords age. So, I mean, people sound older. I remember when they made the movie Avengers Endgame. I remember having this conversation with our program director at the time, Jared Hart, how when Captain America, spoiler alert, but the movie is now like 10, it's like 6 years, 7 years, whatever. It's old. So if you haven't seen it yet. Anyway, when Captain America comes back at the end of the movie as an old man and his voice sounds like an old man. I remember Jared saying to me, like, they got that right because typically they don't worry about that stuff. They usually don't do that. And there was a whole thing where they had, when they did Star Wars, you know, the new movies and the new spinoffs, and they had James Earl Jones come back as Darth Vader, and he sounded like an old Darth Vader because he's old. And then they had to reconfigure his voice using AI to make it sound like Darth Vader when they did the first Star Wars movies in the 70s. So your voice naturally ages, but Trump today sounds like Trump from 1992. I mean, he's still with it and everything like this, but Biden in 2022 sounds nothing like Biden of 1992. But here's Biden in 1992. This is cut number 11, talking about how he runs red lights in D.C. Take a listen.
Driving home, my staff who lives here in the Hill reminded me, don't stop at a stoplight until I'm out of town. If I see a red light late at night, since there's very little traffic, slow up at the other block so I never come to a full stop except in the middle of the block because of carjackings. Stopping at a light, people standing in a corner, walking up with a gun.
See that? But now this is Chuck Schumer. Apparently everything's fine. He walks around D.C. all the time. He's perfectly safe. These people are full. Everything's fine. Even though the Senate Minority Leader has a fleet of armed guards and is driven everywhere he goes because he's a Senate Minority Leader. And he's had literally police protection, Capitol Police protection for the last decade, probably longer than that, actually. Cut number 10.
A lot of folks on the Republican side, your Republican colleagues, say that they are very scared to walk outside in D.C., that they think this is completely the right thing to do. Senator, are you scared walking around Washington, D.C. these days?
I walk around all the time. I wake up early in the morning sometimes and take a nice walk as the sun is rising around some of the Capitol and the other monuments and things. And I feel perfectly safe. They're full of it. Look, here's what they've done, Aaron. Plain and simple. Donald Trump wants to distract.
From what exactly? What is he distracting from, out of curiosity? What? By the way, this dude threw a sandwich at a federal agent. And not only is he being charged with a felony, it turns out he worked at the Justice Department. So he's being fired. He's been terminated. Not the best career move if you work at DOJ, I'm saying. Throwing a sandwich at a federal officer when you work at DOJ, probably not the best career move. So he's been charged with assaulting an officer for throwing a sandwich. The officer was not harmed. But he worked at DOJ. I'm thinking, if you work at the Department of Justice, probably you got on the list of things not to do. Stealing office supplies, throwing sandwiches at federal cops. I mean, like, and you probably learned that in your orientation. Welcome to DOJ. A lot of responsibilities come with your position. One of the things you should not do, throw sandwiches at federal officers who are doing their job. Because you work at the Department of Justice. Or maybe they don't tell you that orientation. In which case, then, he should plead that. He should plead ignorance. Do the Costanza defense. Was that wrong? I got to be honest. No one told me. They didn't tell me at orientation. You know why? We didn't think we had to, moron. We didn't think we had to tell you not to throw a sandwich at a federal agent. Figured you'd know that. Because you got hired to work at DOJ. Figured, like, you know that. That'd be one of those things you just kind of knew. So it's not really on us that we didn't tell you not to do that. Here's a reporter asking D.C. residents, you think crime's down? Cut 12.
Hear from city leaders and others that crime is actually down. Are you seeing that?
No, I'm not seeing it. We're seeing carjackings, the violence in the communities. So we were advocating then for the National Guard to come out, but they said there was no need. But think about how many lives could have been saved just having them on the scene.
And Asya says still to this day, she's not heard from one detective about those crimes committed against her family. Now, for Tempe Satcher, another D.C. resident, her son BJ was gunned down in a random drive-by shooting on the way to work 2 years ago, and she does not feel that crime has calmed down.
Just
today, a young lady was shot over on 15th Street in Northeast D.C. Does that seem like crime gone down? With all the things that are going on with our president, you know, sending the National Guards out, I don't have a problem with that personally, because if MPD can't do it and they need help, then I'm glad they're able to get the help.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, because why would you not want the help? Why would you not? Especially if somebody else is paying for it. If somebody else is paying for it, you take the help. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. With other dentists, it's about cost. With Dr. Mike, it's about care. That is his number one priority. That is why he is the best of the best. So schedule your appointment. Get a free implant consultation today by going to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Oh, by the way, the school from Friday Night Lights, since Buzz Bissinger wrote the book, Friday Night Lights, changing its name back to Midland Lee. And they'll be the Rebels, like they were back then. So there you go. Okay, we got a lot to get to. Our buddy Brooke Singman's going to join us in a moment, but I just want to play this for you. This is Jeanine Pirro calling out Democrats who think D.C. doesn't have a crime issue, and the kids. It was specifically talking about kids, 2024, and the statistics of the kids shot and killed with firearms. I think the biggest problem here is that the gangs recruit these kids. We have a problem with the fact that a lot of these families don't have fathers. They're a lot of single moms. A lot of these dads are locked up. These gang leaders become role models for these kids. And then they use these kids because they know the kids won't get in trouble. So they use the kids to go out and commit the crimes because the kids won't get in trouble. And it's a pipeline, and it's bad for the kids. It's dangerous for the kids. We're not doing anything. This social justice experiment of protecting them from the law is not in their best interest. It only winds up leading them down a path of crime. Bottom line, cut 8.
I'm, you know, in my element here. The truth is that I just, you know, kind of on a whim just said, let me see the number of homicides of teens last year in D.C. and this year in D.C. You're looking at the 2024 kids who were shot and killed with firearms in 2024. There are 29 of them. Okay, every one of them is an African-American minority community. This is a community that's being victimized by violent crime. Now, in 2025, we've got 16, again under the age of 19, who have been shot and killed as a result of a firearm. So totally, we've got 45 African-American kids who've been killed. And the crucial point right now is that the clearance rate is 30%. What does that mean? That means that they've only solved 30% of the homicides of these teens in the last year and 7 months. That means that 70% of the murders that were committed with guns against teens in the minority community, those 70% of the murderers are walking around free. We don't know who they are because the cases have not been solved. And therein lies the problem. Young criminals in D.C. have been emboldened to commit crimes because they believe that they're not accountable. And why do they believe
and they're
that?
Not.
Because
thank you.
They
you
are
can,
not.
You can turn it. Thank you, Justin. They're not accountable. By the way, Matt DeSantis, the guy who threw the sandwich at the cop, the reason why they're charging him, it was on brioche. True story.
That was not a brioche bun. I saw it.
Brioche bun. They were going to let him walk, but brioche. So there you go. All right. Tomorrow, live in Cape May. And we're going to have a great time, 3 to 7 p.m. Great guests in person, Paula Scanlon, Dr. Victoria Coates. I want you to come out and join us. It's going to be a great day. 3 to 7, you don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. But if you're bummed that summer's flying by, here's the best way to extend summer. Book a fall stay at the beautiful Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Cape May is beautiful in the fall. The weather is tremendous. The beach is beautiful. And there are fewer crowds. The Grand has several special packages to make your getaway even grander. You can book a Grand Escape weekend this fall and earn resort credits. Or make it a September to remember and book a September stay. You'll still earn resort credits and save 10% off room rates. Check out their website for details. Remember, always book direct with them for the best rates and resort credits. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, baby and bridal shower. With four ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call my friend Caitlin. She was named 2025 South Jersey's Face of Weddings, and she will make your events spectacular and your wedding dreams come true. I love the Grand Hotel. It's beautiful, it's oceanfront, and it's my happy place. And we'll see you there tomorrow.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right. Tomorrow, live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Very excited, but very excited right now to welcome back to the show Fox News superstar investigative reporter Brooke Singman. She is crushing it with her reporting on the Russia hoax and has been reporting it and crushing it since day one. Brooke, thank you so much for joining me and coming back on the show. How you doing?
Rich, thanks for having me, and what a warm, warm welcome. Too generous, seriously, and I love coming on the show with you. So happy to deliver new news, and would love to talk about it with you.
Absolutely, and Brooke is on X, at Brooke Singman, and I highly suggest that you follow her for all these developments. So what's the latest, Brooke, in everything? I know you had a conversation with DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes, I did. And you know what? She obviously for weeks has been teasing that there are more documents to come, that she is going to be declassifying documents related to the original Trump-Russia probe that will really help us to start putting together the pieces of what happened. Now, I'm sure the audience knows that Special Counsel John Durham was supposed to do all of that for us, but it either wasn't covered properly or he didn't really get down to the nitty-gritty of it. But that's what we're going to do now. So DNI Gabbard declassified this email that I was able to see yesterday, and it was an email from December 2016. Now, at that time, of course, President Obama is still the president. Donald Trump was just elected, and this is the time, a very critical time of this beginning stage of the Trump-Russia investigation, because it's when the intelligence community under Obama decided that they would work to create this new intelligence product that Tulsi Gabbard has said was really just manufactured, politicized intelligence to claim Trump was connected to Russia, even though they actually didn't really have so much evidence of that. So this email fits into that story, and it's an email from the director at the time of the National Security Agency, the NSA, Mike Rogers. Now, Mike Rogers writes an email to James Comey, who was the FBI director, CIA director at the time, John Brennan, and the former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. And he writes, you know, I know we're trying to work together to create this intelligence product, but my team is concerned because they didn't have enough time to review any of the intelligence. No one is confident in this, and I haven't seen any intelligence. So if you plan to put out an intelligence report that's signed off as a co-author with the NSA, we're not there yet. We need more time and we need more intelligence. But you know what? James Clapper replied and said that it was not negotiable for any more time and they needed to brief the president on it. And what Clapper said was, literally in the email, he writes, "This is our story and we're sticking to it. We all need to be on the same page. This needs to be a team sport." So basically, he says, we don't really care that the intelligence community at the NSA is not able to verify or feeling confident in the intelligence saying that the Russians hacked the DNC email servers or that Trump was tied to Russia. Clapper didn't care. They had to move along with this narrative and brief President Obama, which they did on January 5th, 2017, and then that new 2017 intelligence community assessment, which has been flawed and was based on that now very debunked dossier, that was published the day after the briefing of this alleged intelligence to Obama in January of 2017, just weeks before Trump takes office. So, you know, on its own, it's a pretty damning email. You know, this is a team sport. It's not negotiable to get more time. On its own, it's damning. But when you put it into the whole picture and you put it into this puzzle that we've been trying to put together, it just continues to prove what we have known for so many years now.
Yeah, Brooke Singman, it really does. And it shows the mens rea here. It shows the intent of these guys, which is that they wanted to make this a level one priority for the president and to do so for a reason. And that reason was to stop Donald Trump without question, no doubt about it.
Right.
And what else have you learned today, Brooke?
Nothing further today on this, but I'm sure more is to come. But I will say that going back to this timeline, because I think this timeline is so very critical. So President Obama is briefed on this new intelligence product that he demanded based on this manufactured Trump-Russia intelligence on January 5th. On January 6th, 2017, that report comes out. But on January 20th, 2017, which is Trump's first inauguration day, Susan Rice, who was the national security advisor at the time for Obama, forwarded herself an email with all of the notes from that January 5th briefing with the president. And in that briefing was Comey and Brennan and Clapper. Why would Susan Rice forward herself on Inauguration Day an email with notes from the January 5th meeting saying Obama said we should keep things by the book?
Right.
Keep things by the book. Now, this was an interesting email that was declassified by John Ratcliffe back in 2020 when he was Director of National Intelligence. He's now our CIA Director. director. John Ratcliffe declassified this at a time when, you know, people were not paying so much attention to this, but I, like you mentioned, have been obsessed with this since day one, so I reported on that exclusively about 5 years ago. But all of these declassified emails are just falling, like I said, into this puzzle. We're laying out all of these pieces, and they're all starting to connect, and we won't stop until we have a beautiful, beautiful, clear picture of what this puzzle really is.
And for those that don't know, why is Susan Rice relevant in all this?
Well, Susan Rice was the national security advisor at the time for Obama. Now, Susan Rice was the one who was responsible for briefing Michael Flynn, who was Trump's first pick for national security advisor. Obama had beef with Michael Flynn. He did not want Trump to hire Michael Flynn. He kept warning Trump against hiring Michael Flynn as national security advisor. Ultimately, he ends up being charged with making false statements to the FBI about his phone calls with the Russian ambassador, but he went through years of and tens of thousands of dollars of legal fees through the Mueller investigation, ultimately to have the DOJ drop charges because they found exculpatory information which showed that the FBI agents questioned him without a lawyer, and they found emails that said, we have to get him to lie. So Susan Rice is a figure that I think we're going to hear more about in these other emails that I expect will be declassified and that hopefully I will be able to break for you. But another reason she's an important figure is because she is in all these briefings, these critical briefings with the president, with Brennan, with Clapper, with Comey. So, you know, not exactly clear what her exact role is, but she's definitely part of that whole cabal. Also, then Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Let's figure out what her role in this whole thing is, because let's not forget Loretta Lynch. She had that very controversial meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac in Arizona in July of 2016, which is, you know, the very critical month that the CIA learned of Hillary Clinton's plan to drum up this whole Trump-Russia scandal and did nothing about it. Instead, just opened an FBI investigation into Trump and Russia. So I don't know. I think we're just going to keep asking questions and keep hoping that these documents keep coming and being moved from classified top secret to declassified so that we can really understand this whole story.
Well, Brooke, we were told that Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch were just talking about their grandkids on the tarmac that day.
Yeah, of course. Of course and they were.
Yeah, just a nice chat about the grandkids. We were also told that a lot of the emails that Hillary Clinton had that went missing were about yoga, I believe, right? Was one of the excuses.
And they just, in a bleach bit? Like, just erase it? What?
With a cloth?
With a cloth, yeah. What do you mean? So, you know, I think it's the whole thing. There are more links to the original Hillary Clinton email probe and the Trump-Russia probe than we even know about now, I'm sure. And we're all going to just keep on this. But there are so many figures. I'm having a blast, and I'm thrilled that the Trump administration is diving back into this entire conspiracy, because I think I've told you this before. This has really been just the hallmark story of my entire career. I started as a politics reporter for Fox News in May of 2017, the day after Trump fired Comey as FBI director, which was just a week before Mueller was appointed as special counsel. So I've been covering this from truly day one. And, you know, it has been so fulfilling to continue to hammer and ask questions and be able to get these answers. Because as a young reporter, I was only 23 years old, the New York Times and the Washington Post and NPR and all of these outlets were publishing all of these huge, huge Pulitzer Prize winning stories about Trump and his team colluding with Russia. And I could never confirm their reporting. And I was like, well, I'm young. I'm just not good enough yet. I don't have good enough sources. And then, you know, when that Mueller report came out, I was like, wait a second. I wasn't young. I didn't not have good sources. I was right.
Yeah.
And never had to retract a story or return a prize. Not that they had to do that either, but they should have, because their reporting was all based on false information. So it's been a thrill to be able to dive back in and read even my own coverage from the last 10 years, because it's reminding me of so many things, so many questions that I still have that are left unanswered. So it's very exciting to have people in place that I think are interested in giving those answers.
So, Brooke, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, and, you know, obviously the grand jury that they're empowering, they want to empower it and impanel it in Florida. Have we been able to confirm anything that links the raid on Mar-a-Lago to Crossfire Hurricane that would, you know, definitively say, yeah, we can have the grand jury proceedings down here?
Not yet. I can't speak to that It absolutely may. I just can't confidently give an analysis on
of course
that yet.
And the other question I have for you is the missing Hillary Clinton emails and this, you know, idea of we need to distract everybody from her emails. And so we're going to say that Trump was working with Russia. And that email that came out, that smoking gun email, which they keep saying, oh, you know, we haven't been able to verify it. But what do they mean by that? Like, we haven't been able to verify it yet.
Are we talking about the email from the George Soros staffer?
Yes, exactly.
So I don't know what they mean, because the United States special counsel, who was able to conduct his work under a Democrat president's administration, the Biden administration, under Attorney General Merrick Garland, he used that email in his investigation and said it was an email that was from the DNC and it was a legitimate email. But people continue to play the game of, you know, this was an email that was just a Russian fabricated email and mm-hmm. They didn't use it. And that email basically said the FBI is going to look into the Hillary Clinton plan and turn it into an investigation. Well, that's funny if this was a Russian fabricated thing, because just 2 days later, the FBI did open the investigation into the Trump-Russia information, and that was called Crossfire Hurricane. So either the Russians predicted the FBI would look into this with, you know, alarming specificity, or this was a real email from a person connected to George Soros communicating with the DNC about this plan. So I would say the latter makes more sense to me, just based on everything I've seen. But this is just something, it's the tactic. It's the nothing to see here, move on. But guess what? We all moved on for 5 years and people still didn't have answers. I mean, the mainstream media is complicit here in failing to tell this story to the American people. Whether you like Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump, it doesn't really matter. The government was weaponized against a political candidate. That is un-American. That's exactly against what America stands for, to have your political opponent weaponizing the entire intelligence community against you, even after you are elected, the duly elected president of the United States, have your administration, not to, you know, spew out MAGA talking points, but you have the deep state officials still in place working against you, working against your agenda. And that is what Trump faced for 2 years. He had his presidency clouded by this whole Russia stuff. And at the end of the day, did the media come out and really say that Robert Mueller didn't find evidence of collusion?
No.
They hammered the investigation for years about how all of the evidence that they claimed they were seeing. But when the report came out to say that there was nothing here, and then another special counsel was appointed to investigate to determine why this started in the first place, they didn't cover it. And they certainly did not cover the Durham report back in May 2023, when Durham said that the FBI was totally manipulated by Hillary Clinton.
You know, and Brooke,
no one covered that.
You're right. And I think everything you just said there, bravo, Brooke Singman. But I think there's another piece to this, too, which is that, you know, Hillary Clinton was out there saying, and they're going to do it again. And she talked about how the former FBI director, Christopher Wray, was warning about Russian, you know, the Russians trying to, you know, involve themselves in our election again. They had the Hunter Biden laptop in 2019. And then they were telling social media companies, oh, something big is coming. And then the social media companies were all told by these very same people, Clapper and Comey, and et cetera, this is Russian disinformation. And so
they all signed on to that letter. Yes, exactly. The big 51 intelligence officials say Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation. Guess what? Hunter Biden's acknowledged 700 times he had a laptop and it was his. Like, what?
And the FBI knew it was real because they had it in their possession. And so, you know, I think at the end of the day, they were successful in bringing down Donald Trump's presidency because they helped get him out of office. If the American people had learned the truth about what was on that laptop connecting Joe Biden to Hunter Biden's businesses, they may have voted differently. We don't know, but they may have. And that's the problem, is that Chris Wray, as FBI director, I don't think he gets a pass here in all this.
No, absolutely not. And that's I'm glad you raised former director Christopher Wray's name, because he's also a key player in all of this. Because at the end of the day, Christopher Wray was FBI director beginning in, I think, March of 2018 during this Mueller investigation. You have Kash Patel, the new FBI director, taking the helm over at the Bureau and finding critical classified documents marked top secret involving all of this information in burn bags in secret rooms at the FBI. Well, that's not James Comey's secret room. That's a secret room that was under Christopher Wray. So what was going on under Christopher Wray as well? And he's somebody who he's able to like skate by here because he wasn't involved in the original Crossfire Hurricane stuff. But you know what? He was FBI director during this entire time. He also was FBI director during all of the crazy investigations into President Trump last year when he was running for office. So they tried again to weaponize the law enforcement and justice system against Trump again to prevent him from getting into office. But this time, the American people didn't buy it, and he was found. You know, all of it's just a double standard, and he's faced a double standard time and time again. And yes, he won the election in 2024. He's president. He's carrying out his agenda on a day-to-day basis. And people say move on from the Trump-Russia stuff. But you know what? I don't think you can move on because this was such a huge story that nobody cares to talk about. You go to journalism school now and all anyone talks about is Watergate. This is bigger than Watergate by a million. Come on.
Yeah. That's why I won't even call it Russiagate because I don't even want to equate it to Watergate, Brooke. I don't even want it doesn't deserve it to be in the same category.
Absolutely not. And actually, just another note, because I bet you're going to kick me off soon.
No, you have all the time you need, my friend.
And we can just hang out for hours and talk about this. It's like a feature film. But do you remember that meeting at Trump Tower in June of 2016 with that Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya? And it was the biggest news story of all time. She had a meeting with Donald Trump Jr. She was set up for a meeting with him, claiming that she had dirt on Hillary Clinton. And Don Jr. said, sure, I love it. Let's hear it. And so they had this meeting. Apparently, she didn't discuss Hillary Clinton at all in the meeting. And Donald Trump Jr. had to answer questions for why he was willing to meet with a Russian, right? But now this name is just popping back up in my head, and I'm just going to keep going. She's been indicted for something to do with fraud, but she worked for, or she worked with the firm that created the dossier. She worked with Fusion GPS, which was that opposition research firm that was paid by Hillary Clinton millions of dollars to commission the anti-Trump dossier. So don't you think it's a little random that this Russian lawyer appeared to kind of set up Donald Trump Jr. just months before this dossier was pushed to be included in the FBI and all this? I just think there's a link there, and I always have. And I don't have it yet, but I'm after it. That's one of the things that I'm after right now. So I thought I should share that.
Good. You should, because, I mean, they were looking for excuses to tap the phones over there, so to speak. I mean, they wanted to spy right. on the campaign. And, you know, there's your only Watergate connection, is that the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Obama administration were trying to spy on the campaign, just like the Watergate burglars were trying to find out what the DNC was up to when they broke right. in. But that's it. That's where it ends. That's it. Because right. the level of spying that was done on the Trump campaign, and then setting up George Papadopoulos in the same manner, right? With a fake yep. meeting. They did the same thing
the
to him.
The fake meeting overseas to make him look like he was doing weird stuff, FISA warrants against Carter Page, who was a campaign aide, but he worked for the CIA. Yep. They erased
that
his bio.
Yes.
Yeah, they omitted the fact that he was a CIA analyst when they went to get the FISA warrant because, you know, it was so dirty that they did that. So you have the Carter Pages of the world. But don't forget, the Hillary Clinton campaign also manipulated the internet traffic coming from Trump Tower to make it look like Trump Tower computers were communicating very frequently with Russia's Alpha Bank. And then you had Hillary Clinton's right. lawyer, Michael Sussman, who was indicted in the Durham investigation. He was found not guilty in a D.C. court, might I
Shocking.
Add.
Yeah.
But he brought that alleged evidence, that manufactured evidence, over to the FBI, general counsel, Baker, and gave it to him in a folder. He had access to the FBI, could just walk in and give this information. But they had crafted that information. That wasn't real. That was fake. So, I mean, there are just so many pieces here that everybody forgets. And maybe the media is not forgetting. They just don't want to admit it, and they don't want to cover it. And that's just the story with this, is they don't want to cover it. So they won't. Nobody. You know what? I had two stories yesterday. I had this story about Clapper. Nobody covered it. Nobody covered this email. I had another story about Melania Trump threatening to sue Hunter Biden for defamation. Everyone covered that one, but no one covered this. So I just, you know, that's kind of just typical for this topic and this beat that I'm on. Nobody really cares except for the few conservative outlets that care,
well,
you know?
Millions and millions and millions of us care, and history cares, and that's what's most important here, and justice
exactly.
cares. Brooke Singman, you're the best. Follow Brooke on X at Brooke Singman. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk again soon. Keep up the great work.
You're the best, Rich. Thank you.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Let me tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, and why he's the best of the best. It's very easy, very simple to understand. It's about care. It's about commitment to dental excellence. It's not about cost. Look, when the other dentists are sending their patients to Dr. Mike, you know he's the best because he's the expert that other experts call for the really complex stuff. And doctors go to him. Hospital administrators go to him. That's the level of trust and confidence people have in Dr. Mike Veneria. So how about you? Let's say you need dental surgery, complex stuff. You need implants. You need crowns, whatever it is, the really complicated stuff. You're going to go to just any old chain dental office? No. You're going to go to the best of the best, Dr. Mike Veneria. And it's very easy to do. All you got to do is just go to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. He's got an office in Cinnaminson and an office in Woodbury. And he'll give you a free implant consultation and the smile of your dreams. My whole family goes to Dr. Mike, and he gave Bridget a beautiful smile upgrade last year when she needed her veneers replaced, and he gave her beautiful caps. Her smile has never looked better. So trust the dentist trust, the experts trust, and the Zioli family trusts. That's Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's
on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.